think it's too late for a delivery person to make deliveries to your house, like Amazon, UPS, whatever?
Well, it depends on the item, right? I mean, if it's something that you're desperate for and you need it the next day for little Jimmy's birthday party or whatever, you're willing to have them show up at any time during the day. If it's your Christmas bonus or money in the bank, then you want it to arrive. On the other hand, when you're like the neighbor and it's being delivered to one of your other houses in the area, then anything past, I don't know, like 7:30 or so, too late for me.
Right. It's Anna and Raven. I have noticed lately that my Amazon deliveries come so late,
yes,
like 11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that they're out delivering. But I also don't like it because then like the ring goes off, like the chime on my phone.
You
and
get
then
your
I
notifications,
get
right.
I get scared. I'm like, well, who's like outside my house at 11 o'clock at night?
It's true. It's a thing because now that you mention it, had the Amazon driver parked in front of our house delivering something for the neighbor the other night, and he had his radio cranked as he had the side door of the van open. It's the only reason that I even realized or took notice. And he was out there for like 10 minutes as he sorted through his van, as sometimes they do. And it was like 8:50 at night. Like, what's up with that?
It's late.
Dogs barking. Everybody's out of sorts trying to figure out what's going on. You know what I also hate?
What?
Too early.
Oh.
Same neighbor across the street. Grocery delivery every single week. I swear they pull this truck up at 7:30 in the morning on a Sunday.
But you can select that. So I've noticed that a bunch of grocery stores, when you do the delivery selection, it starts at like 7:15 a.m. And I always think, who wants that at 7:15 a.m.? You know who wants it? Your neighbor.
Here's the problem. The driver, it's the same driver every single week. They never pull right into the driveway. They always pull past the house and then back up. Beep, 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 beep. It's Sunday morning. It's not like there's a ramp right off the back of the truck into the living room. You're saving yourself no work whatsoever by backing in.
But it's like there's nothing you can do because we need our deliveries. That's kind of what the world is now. They have to get it to us whenever they have the time. So we just have to get accustomed to the fact that we're going to get things at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, you think it's too much if I ask them to turn down the radio?
Goose Baba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Wellness Wednesday, it's your chance to learn something simple that you can do every day to make your life better. And today, it's a little bit surprising, but it's been a real hot topic lately. Raven, what should you be doing to make your life better?
Many things, I'm guessing. But I mean, if you want me to zero in on one thing, you can give me a hint.
Swearing may help you live a healthier, happier life in the long run.
Swear.
Yeah, I do pretty well with swearing for a while. And then I get on days, and you know, because you work with me in close quarters, is that I get on days where all of a sudden I'm swearing, and I'm swearing a lot in those days. It's like you get on a roll. So I get that it might feel better for a bit. Sure.
Well, it's such a hot topic lately that even Nicolas Cage is hosting a documentary about it on Netflix.
Of course.
Swear words. They're the most popular and alluring taboos we have. But the secrets to their strange power have been shrouded in mystery until now.
Nicolas Cage is just such a whack.
It's actually very, very interesting. So, all right, they're saying that it's okay to swear, but what are the actual benefits of doing it?
Okay.
Swearing has been known to raise your heart rate, which can help reduce the pain.
So it's like legitimate pain. So like, you know, when you stub your toe or you hurt yourself, like your first reaction is to swear. That's actually good.
Yeah.
That's a defense mechanism for your body.
Well, I've heard about that. But, you know, screaming, right? You know, exclaiming in one way or another. I've heard that. Sure.
Swearing could be the key to improving workouts. And swearing won't just help you get more fit. It can also reduce stress and anxiety.
So my girlfriend Rita makes fun of me all the time because she's my workout gym buddy. I swear to myself.
At yourself, too.
Yep, yeah. At myself while I work out so much. I like to be by myself.
She insults herself.
I insult myself. Like, I can't use examples, but I'm like, you
right,
lazy.
Because you can't say any of them. Yeah. You can't say any of them.
And my girlfriend thinks it's hilarious.
Because it is crazy.
Because it's crazy.
Right.
But that adrenaline, that anger, that I use those bad words that I call myself, make me push myself harder. So I really, truly believe that.
If I just reenact like a foul-mouthed comedy show or something like that, it's the same thing as a cardio workout. I want to make sure I understand.
Well, no, it's when you're actually working out. So if you're lifting weights and you're like, you're having a hard time with that last rep.
Okay.
If you just mutter a really bad word.
Insulting yourself.
Yep. Or just say it. Like, It's the same thing with tennis players. If you ever see Serena Williams and anything, when she goes to hit the ball, she's like, bleh!
Yes, no, I've heard the grunts.
Yeah,
right.
It's the same thing. But now imagine if she was saying a bad word.
Right.
Forget it. That ball would be on the moon. Right. What else does it do?
One study found that swearing helped drivers better cope with their frustration on the road whenever a pedestrian illegally crossed the street. And in fact, this kind of emotional relief is so common, it has a name. Lalachesia.
Lalachesia.
Yeah, that's easy to say when somebody jaywalks in front of you.
Now, Raven had to go to anger management classes at one point in his life.
Yes, I did.
Now, imagine if you just swore. You
yes.
wouldn't have to do that.
No, swearing is what got me in there. As a matter of fact, it was a disagreement in the wrong place at the wrong time.
It was an earlier time.
Certainly at the inappropriate volume.
And the big thing is like, well, should you swear at work? Of course, you should not swear at work. Not so fast. According to research.
Uh-huh.
Turns out that using the F word helped workers express politeness, alleviate tension, and bond with each other.
Yep. Let it rip, just not on the air, because we'll get a $10,000 fine.
Let HR know that we got to rewrite the employee handbook.
Yep.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. If you're one of the 40% of Americans that every year complains that you should have Monday off the day after the Super Bowl, that is all I need to know about you.
You're such a hater.
But how many times are we going to have this conversation? It's not going to happen, ever.
Until it gets changed.
Okay.
We're going to have the conversation every single time
here
it comes
we go.
Up, which is every year, obviously, annually around the date, until it gets changed, because it makes no sense.
Here we go.
Let's face it. Half the holidays we've got that are recognized on a national calendar at this point are up for some debate anyways lately.
Oh, here we go.
So why don't we bring back the Super Bowl debate and get that day officially done?
That's all I need to know about you.
Or move the game to a Saturday.
Why do you think that the game is more important than other days that we should have off?
Listen, the game is more important than work. That's true. That's true.
That's not true.
Work's going to happen the next day anyways. Work is one of those things that's going to perpetually go on till the end of time, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? If you take a day off, it's going to be fine. We take Saturdays and Sundays off all the time. So if you take a Monday off, no biggie.
But
see you Tuesday.
Here's what I never understand about this is why can't you just use a vacation day or a personal day or something along that line?
Well, you know
lines?
Why I can't. So don't say that to me.
Well, not you.
Right? You know
I
why
mean,
I
general.
Can't.
I just, in general, like people always call out sick the next day, like your
sure.
boss doesn't know. Do you know how many people call out of our office sick the day after? And I think in my head, you really think the bosses think you're sick conveniently the day after the Super Bowl? Of course not.
You know who doesn't get to call in?
Okay.
You or me.
Right.
DJs can't call in.
Nope.
It's the saddest thing ever.
That's all I need to know about you.
I mean, it's
you.
Not like we're out lifting boxes in warehouses, but that's a day that it's tough.
Okay.
All right? That's all I'm going to say. That's a day that it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
If you're one of the people that roots against your friend's team just for the sake of being a jerk, that's all I need to know about you. If you go to a party and everybody at that party is rooting for one side and you decide that you're going to be the loudest person in that party and root for the other side, even though you have no vested interest in that opposing team whatsoever, that's all I need to know about you.
But isn't that the whole part of like the Super Bowl?
No.
Is like you have to have somebody that's the antagonistic person, right?
No, it's really not the same part. No.
Oh
it's
my
not.
Gosh, it's so funny.
Nope. I get sensitive that day.
Do you have superstitions that day that have to happen for your team?
Well, I mean, if it was my team personally, neither of these teams are really my team.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, if it was my team personally, big games like that, I have some superstitions. So what I used to do is I would pull out all my old jerseys and then I would lay them out around the couch as if the team was watching the game with me.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then, we would root for our team. But you know something? I've done that several times. And I would say that the percentages are not overwhelming, that it's been a good thing.
Wait a minute.
So sometimes I'll leave them away.
You mean to tell me that you taking random old jerseys out of your closet and putting them around your living room and pretending that those players are there doesn't actually change the score of the game?
Yeah, no, it didn't affect the 53 players that were on the roster the way that I hoped.
Oh,
so
I can't believe it.
You're right. It was very surprising and revealing at the same time. But maybe we'll get a better result next time my team's in there.
That's all I need to know about you. Whether you love him or you can't stand him, you at least got to give him props because he looks good and he's still performing at a really high level at the age of 43.
Record 10th Super Bowl appearance, record 6 victories, and man, he still looks good.
Cheater!
When him and Giselle walk into a room, oh my gosh.
Raven is a fan. I think he's a dirty, filthy cheater, but it doesn't change the fact that he's in incredible shape for 43 years old, and he is competing in his 10th Super Bowl, and I will give him that. Tom Brady.
I don't want to belittle your opinion, but I mean, you're a Giants fan through your husband, and they beat them twice. What are you worried about?
Whatever. Either way, Tom Brady has a book that's been out for a few years now called TB12, and it's a diet book. It's how he stays in shape, and it's not really a surprise. When you read it, it's mostly plant-based he eats. It's really clean meats a little bit. Every plate is 80% veggies, 20% protein, not a lot of alcohol, not a lot of caffeine, not a lot of dairy.
Yeah, TB12 is his empire of nutrition. It's not just a book. It's a lifestyle in his app. He's done all sorts of stuff. I can't afford half those products.
But the number one thing that he says that makes him perform at the level that he does and keeps his body in tip-top shape, well, it's this.
Water and lots of it.
You drink half your body weight in ounces.
Yes.
So how much do you weigh?
So I'm about 230 pounds.
So you drink like 115 ounces of water?
Yeah, probably more, just because there's still a lot of, you know, output per day. So I'm still losing a lot of fluids. I'd say like if you weren't exercising on a particular day, that would be the baseline. I would say half your body weight in ounces.
The baseline when you're not even sweating is 115 or 120 ounces. That's 264 Heffenreffers of water. That's how I gauge all my ounces. When it comes to sizes, I look at a 40 ounce and then I go, how many of those is that?
I have to tell you, and I know this sounds crazy, but when I was the healthiest in my life, I was drinking 14 cups of water a day.
What happened to you?
I stopped drinking 14 cups of water. I upped my alcohol intake.
Right.
And everything, and here we are. Now, we want to put producer John on the TB12 water diet because we can't afford the lean meats because they're a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, who's cooking today? None of that is happening here. But I mean, just the simple fact of if you don't drink that much water on a daily basis, drinking that amount of water for 24 hours is going to be hard.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And I want you to take producer John. First of all, how much do you weigh?
I weigh 175 pounds.
That is not true.
Yes, it is.
That is a total farce.
So 100% actual truth.
You have a double chin. There is no way you weigh 175 pounds.
I have an impeccable jawline. I don't know what you're talking about.
Go like this.
Okay, if I go
can
like
see it
this,
right now. I can see his chin.
He doesn't weigh more than 175 pounds.
He weighs more than 175
pounds. How much do you think he weighs?
Yeah, I'll bet you $5 right now he weighs over 175 pounds.
What do you think he weighs?
I put him at like 190.
You got me at 190.
I've got you at like 188, 190.
For $5.
For $5, that's where I've got you at.
Okay.
171 pounds.
You believe he weighs less than 175?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, Anna.
Look at him.
Shoes on. Less than 175 right now.
Let me see your shoes. They're sneakers. They're Nikes. Yes.
I got $5 versus you right now, too. So anything 171 or less, you get $5 from me. But anything 172 or more, I get $5 from you.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a scale.
I'm going to get money.
I know we have a scale in our office. And we're going to weigh producer John. And we're going to figure out how much water he has to drink. That's going to be coming up next with Anna and Raven.
I'm getting paid.
Has to be the most anticlimactic moment of radio we had a few minutes ago.
Well, we're going to get this down. I mean, this is science right here, all right? When we put money on the lines, I'm very serious about my bets.
It's Anna and
Raven. And I'm not going to apologize for that.
All right. Tom Brady says that he drinks half his body weight in ounces of water every day to stay in peak performance shape. So we figured we would have producer John drink his weight over the next 24 hours to see how many times he goes potty.
Yeah. I mean, this is not something that we would do to our bodies. But given the fact that we have very little respect for John, we'll make him do it.
And the truth of the matter is it is really, really healthy to do that. There's no disputing that. Drinking a ton of water is good for you, but it also means a lot of time heading to the bathroom. So now we have an argument because producer John says that he weighs 175 pounds and Raven doesn't think so.
I say there's no way he weighs 175. He definitely weighs more than 175.
Easy 175.
You think he weighs less, Anna.
I do.
You're saying 171. I say there's no way he weighs 171.
All right, well, let's see. We've brought in a second scale because the first scale didn't work. Go ahead. Let's get on the scale and let's see. Now, keep in mind, Raven has argued behind the scenes that he has to keep his jacket on. So he has his coat on, his hat, and his shoes.
This is the thing. I made the estimation looking at him as is, and then I see the result, and there he was wearing all those things.
All
what
right,
does it say? What does it say on the scale?
175.8.
Did you weigh more than 175?
I could go to the bathroom
did you,
and lose 0.8 pounds.
But you didn't.
I could.
But you didn't.
I weigh 175 pounds.
I want to also note that he took his cell phone and took his wallet out of his pocket. And
you're
saw you and you were wearing those and they were in your coat before.
The biggest,
and I accounted for
that. Right. You factored in my phone and wallet weight into this mathematical equation that put me at 188 pounds, Raven?
Raven thinks that he weighs 190 pounds.
I know what I weigh. I thought you weighed 190.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is the bet is 175 or over,
not ours.
Listen, at the end of the day,
$5 from both of you.
Sure, you can have the $5. He doesn't weigh 200 pounds like you thought. He weighs 175.
He's fat.
So one
fat guy.
That is not. Listen.
Glorious jawline.
Listen,
big guy.
You're ridiculous. All right, so 175 divided by 2 is 87.5 ounces. So that translates to just about 11 cups of water a day, which is not truly all that much.
Like a lot, yeah.
So we're going to up that. We would like you because to drink 15 cups of
15,
water.
Okay, 15 sounds good.
So between now and tomorrow, right around this time, you have to drink 15 cups. Keep tally of how many times you go potty, and maybe you'll be able to perform in the Super Bowl on Sunday based on your water consumption.
I mean, at the very least, maybe you'll be better looking and live longer.
I mean, I have a lean, athletic body, so that makes sense.
No, you don't.
175? He is trim.
0.8.
Okay.
0.8.
Okay, sure. What do you do when out of nowhere your husband's snoring has gotten so bad that it's ruining your sleep? It's Anna and Raven. Dr. Abram R. Gold is the medical director of Stony Brook University's Sleep Disorder Center. This has become kind of a big thing with my friends, Dr. Gold, because we all have this thing in common is as our husbands are getting a little older, they never snored before, and now it's like they're sawing trees in our bedrooms.
Are you telling me my wife's reaction of just kicking me is not the scientific way to deal with this?
Actually, that's how my wife deals with it.
I thought so.
That's how I've been dealing with it.
It is a problem. It's not just a problem for wives, but also for husbands, because as women get older, they also snore. The first thing really to consider is whether it's just noise or whether it's really a sign of a potential medical problem, which is known as sleep apnea. To know that, you'd want to look at whether your bed partner has trouble falling asleep or staying asleep, whether they're sleepy during the day or whether they're just tired or fatigued. And then there are medical problems that come out of it also. There's hypertension, high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol. If it goes on long enough, it can lead to heart attacks and strokes.
I'm not sure, to be honest. I think it's just noise because he's well rested during the day. He's fit. You know, he doesn't have like that extra 10, 15 pounds to lose. None of that.
Okay, so I'm going to go down a separate direction before we talk about what to do about the noise. There are lots of women whose husbands snore or have sleep apnea, and the women sleep right through it. Sometimes a woman's being awake and listening to her husband's snoring is a sign of her insomnia. And in that condition, we will also look for sleep apnea in a woman because a woman may not have the loud snoring that a man has.
Sounds my fault.
I was going to say, this is the best argument I've heard yet, Doc. I like this. I'm going to push this right back on my wife. It's your fault. You did this to me.
If you're a wife and you notice that your husband is doing this, and besides the fact that maybe it's your own fault and you have insomnia, what are specific things you should look at to say, okay, now you need to get your butt to a doctor or this is like a real thing?
Issues around falling asleep and staying asleep.
Okay.
Issues around daytime sleepiness or fatigue. And then some of the simple medical conditions. Does your husband have hypertension? Does your husband have diabetes? Does he have high cholesterol? Does he have a family history of heart attacks and strokes? If any of those are true, then it's worthwhile to bring him to a sleep disorder center where it may be that they diagnose sleep apnea and treat him, which will eliminate the snoring and possibly improve his health.
Doc, if we don't think that's the case, how do we quiet the snoring?
There are two forms of treatment that are commonly used. One is nasal positive airway pressure, CPAP. A separate way would be an oral mandibular advancement appliance made by a dentist.
One last question, and we'll let you go, Dr. Gold. When I do kick him, he stops. So Is that science?
Because he wakes up.
Oh, okay. But he doesn't look like he's awake. He just like goes, and then that's it. Right.
He's momentarily killed. You momentarily put him in a coma.
It's not that. It's that most of the awakenings that occur during the night, you wouldn't recognize them as awakenings. The electroencephalogram, the brain waves, say the individual's awake, but they're in that state between being wide awake and being sound asleep. So he may wake up to that in-between zone and stop snoring, but then he'll fall asleep again, and if he's still on his back, he will snore loudly, and perhaps if you get him onto his side or onto his stomach, it'll be a little less pronounced.
Dr. Abram Argol, he's the medical director of Stony Brook University's Sleep Disorder Center. Thank you for talking to us. We appreciate it, Dr. Gold. People used to make fun of me for doing this, but we posted it on our Facebook page, and I am surprised, pleasantly surprised, by how many people do the exact same thing.
You have supporters now?
Yeah. It's Anna and Raven. Raven, grab your cell. You have your phone?
Yeah,
all right,
of course.
Go to Alicia. Alicia is Raven's wife.
Sure.
Go to her her contact info.
Sure.
What do you have her name saved under? Like, what does it say? Does it say?
I have her full name.
First and last?
First and last. First and last. Yep.
There's no emojis. There's no heart.
No.
It's just your wife's first and last name.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's how I know her. That's her name.
But.
I mean, I guess I could put some pet names on there, but I don't know. That's how I know her. Why?
So I think that that is so cold and awkward. If you have your husband, your wife, your significant other as just first and last name. So my husband is Paul, like Paul Zapp. Like, that's weird that he's my husband.
Well, I made the contact when we were dating, obviously. So I changed the last name. I updated the last name when we got married.
But that's
but
it?
Even then, I didn't update it for like a year or two, by the way. I kept completely forgetting.
So mine says Paul. And then it says husband, two exclamation points.
Okay.
So it's Paul, husband, exclamation point. Because I'm proud that he's my husband. I love that he's my husband.
Well, I'm proud that my wife is my wife, too. But the thing that always worries me is if, you know, what if something happened or somebody got my phone or stole my phone or whatever and then opened it up and then they know who my wife is. They're just calling my wife. They
yes,
know who she is.
Because you've been in an accident.
Well,
and they would like to notify you, like your significant other, that something has happened. So it's interesting that you should bring that up because many people on our Facebook page said, yes, I also use husband, hubby, something like that, because it signifies that they're somebody that they should call if something should happen to the phone.
My wife did get into an accident and she did have somebody call me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how it was listed. So
see, it's important. But another thing that people kept writing on our Facebook page, and I was so confused, is that they would list their significant other as ICE. I-C-E, just ICE, the word ICE.
Why is that?
And I was like, Immigration and Customs Enforcement? Like, I was like, are you reporting your significant other to the feds?
Some people would be excited about that. Many others not, I'm guessing.
No, they're listing their significant other as their in case of emergency.
Oh.
And ICE is widely known as that's what you're supposed to use in case of emergency.
I had no idea.
I had no idea either. So I just figured, oh, wait a minute. So should I make my husband Paul husband ICE or Paul ICE
and then
husband.
Exclamation points.
Two exclamation points.
Right.
Yeah. Not so bad. Smart, right?
Yeah. As long as the person that's grabbing your phone understands that.
Unless they think they're calling Immigration and Customs.
Right. Then they're never dialing that number.
No. What did you want to be when you grew up versus what actually are you now? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. So, Raven, when you ask a child, what do they want to be with when they grow up? Like, don't they usually typically have some kind of answer?
Yeah, it's a grand thing, right? Like, it's a big dream, right? So you want to be a firefighter. You want to be a police person. You want to be an astronaut, president. Mm-hmm. Any one of those things would be great.
Well,
movie star.
Yeah, well, the top three answers. Number one is dancer, probably because so many children are taking ballet, tap, dance classes.
I mean, it's just fun to dance. It's joyous.
Number two, actor. Number three, musician.
Okay.
So I was curious, and I asked my 12-year-old, she's almost 12-year-old daughter, Hayden, and I said, Hayden, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
I asked her last night, right?
Sure.
And she got quiet for a minute, and she was like, oh, I want to be like Dixie D'Amelio. No, what's her name? D'Amelio from TikTok. That's Charli D'Amelio's sister.
But
she sings sad songs. That's her thing.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So being the good supportive mother that I am.
Great.
I said, no,
That's not a good thing.
Oh,
no.
I mean, you should say you be whatever you want to be.
No, it bothers me that this chick only sings sad songs. Like, what are you so sad about? Put a smile on your face.
But again, I mean, you want to support Hayden and say you can be whatever you want to be, and mommy will be very happy with that.
She could have said anything else, and I would have been okay.
A better
job. Something about the fact that this girl only sings sad songs bothers me so much. Anyway.
I feel like that girl's probably making more than us.
Well, that's why I don't understand why she's so sad.
You're emotional about it. All right, you're not happy about it.
So I said anything else. You could be anything else when you grow up.
Literally anything else.
Anything.
But that answer is dumb.
Right. And she said yes. And she didn't have an answer. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, you love animals. Maybe something with animals. I'm like a veterinarian. She's like, no, it's sad. I don't want to have to deal with them passing away. And I'm like, okay.
That's a part of it.
Yeah. So then she got like kind of confused and she's like, should I know what I want to be when I grow up?
Have some sort of vocational backup.
Yeah.
She's like, I love stonework. I can paint with the best of them. Anything.
I'm like, you give mommy good massages, maybe like a masseuse, like anything like that. And she had no idea. Did you know what you wanted to be when you grew up?
I mean, I thought I knew what I wanted to be, but I certainly didn't end up there.
What did you want to be?
I just wanted to be in entertainment in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. I really wanted to be an entertainer. Not necessarily famous, just I wanted to be in entertainment. And, you know, bumps in the road, that type of thing. I didn't get to radio for a while, you know, frankly, until, you know, you kind of bottom out on some other things. That's where you go. That's where you go. If you've got failed dreams, you go to radio. So I just kind of fell into that, too. And you know, luckily, I was young enough that I found something that interested me. That was a big break for most people.
Some people
go their whole life. They'll never find something that actually interests them.
Well, that's interesting because you became what you wanted to be. I have like a kind of a similar thing.
I would have liked to also do. But right. OK, so you wanted to what?
I wanted to be an entertainer. I wanted to be in entertainment. I remember the first time I made somebody laugh. Like, I remember that moment in second grade. Great. And I remember loving that feeling and saying, like, I want to make people laugh. And then kind of the same thing. I fell in love with Howard Stern. I ended up, you know, interning at that station. And that's how I kind of got
And you're exactly like him.
Well, a little bit different. But for most people, what you wanted to be growing up versus what you actually are today are two different things.
Yeah, not related, right?
1-800-330-9999. What did you want to be when you were a kid versus what are you now? You can call or text. It's Anna and Raven. I asked my 12-year-old daughter, what does she want to be when she grows up? And I was surprised when she didn't really have that much of an answer.
Kids are lacking big dreams nowadays.
Well, the question is did you actually grow up to be what you wanted to be? It's Anna and Raven. 1-800-330-9999. What did you want to be when you were growing up versus what actually are you now?
I wanted to be a Lego engineer, and now I'm an electrical engineer.
Close enough.
I mean, engineering is cool either way, right? I mean, you're tearing things apart and building things again, and I always was fascinated with that, too. I loved Legos when I was growing up. Now I push buttons.
Yep.
That's all I do.
That's okay. I usually just end up pushing buttons on site, too.
Yeah.
They won't even let me tell fart jokes.
No, we won't. Absolutely not. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you want to be when you grew up?
When I was 11, I knew that I wanted to be a therapist, and I'm actually on my way to work as a clinician.
Nice. Did you, like, the whole way through, you knew, like, straight ahead that that's what you wanted to do and you just accomplished every goal to get it?
Sort of, yeah. There was like a big life event when I was 11 and someone helped me. And like, I want to help someone the way they helped me. And then I just didn't go on that path.
Well, it's amazing that you follow through with that over all that time, right? Most of us get distracted along the way.
But when you brought up that when you were 11, something happened, because a lot of the research says that there's usually one pivotal point that something happens in your life that kind of guides you into that direction. For me, it was being in second grade at the lunch table and putting the lunch bag on my head, and the whole table started laughing, and the rush of people laughing. I was like, I want to make people laugh. That's what I want to do.
That's a trigger event. It's just a good thing your condiments weren't leaking in the back of your lunch sack.
It's true. Ketchup all down my neck.
Oh, nice. Pull that over. You never recover popularity-wise.
Yep. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you want to be when you grew up versus what you are now?
I actually wanted to run my father's scaffolding company. It was my dream. My brother had no interest in taking over the family business. Been running the company now for 8 years, and definitely not the exciting life I had hoped for, but, you know, it's stable.
Well, it pays your bills.
Yeah, it was your dream, and now you actually got it. I think there's always something, like, exciting about taking over the family business. My parents are restaurant people. They never wanted it for us.
Right.
It's so strange.
Well, because usually the younger generation, you could teach them all the stuff, but when they want to take over, it's because they're going to do things just a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Maybe your dad doesn't actually want you to change a thing.
No, he just didn't want, because he was absent growing up. You know, he worked all weekends, he worked at night, we would never see him, and he wanted us to be more part of our kids' lives. I actually have a lot of admiration for that. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you want to be when you grew up versus what you actually are now?
I wanted to be an astronaut.
Me too!
I was obsessed, and I my parents sent me to space camp at the U.S. Space and Rocket Center. Yeah, I think I was 14. Now I manage inventory quality control for a company that produces parachute parts.
Kind of the same.
I mean, right.
Kind of.
Right. I mean, it's not so bad. Right. We started on that inventory thing. I was like, oh, just regular office manager. And I was going to call us a couple sellouts. That's what I was going to do.
Yeah, but at least she gets parachute parts. She can jump off the ceiling, off the roof of the building.
I mean, that's pretty cool, right? It's still airborne. It's still a little bit adventurous. I like that.
It's a little different than space camp.
Got to go to that, so I hate you anyway. So.
Yeah, Raven has been asking to go to space camp every year. He brings it up to the boss that he thinks it'd be so funny on the air. But really, all it is his like way to go to space camp.
How can it not be an expense? How can it not be?
Right.
Seriously, if I could fool the feds, it should be good enough for HR.
Oh, my God.
If you want to chime in, too, you can head to our Facebook page. Just search for Anna and Raven.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Josh and Hannah. Hannah, let's start with you. What's going on?
Okay, so my son, he had some success when he was younger. He had a YouTube channel. He also did some child acting, and he's kind of financially well off. And it's time for him to go to college, and my husband is insisting that since he has this money, he should be paying for college himself. And I'm saying, absolutely not. Like, we've been saving to send him to college, and he made that money with his own talent. So let's use the money we saved for college and then set him up for success, and he'll have the money he has when he gets out of college.
Wow. That is interesting.
It's tricky. What's your side of this, Dad?
No, I don't agree with this. It's still our money. The bigger picture is, for me, being that he has been financially successful, like she said, I believe he's not going to be focused enough to complete college. And our money, it'll be gone, like with no reward. So I say let him pay for it to show skin in the game and his commitment, and he'll more likely to see it through with his hard-earned money on the line.
Do you think, Josh, that if so let me just ask hypothetically. Let's say he goes to college. Let's say he was to pay for the first semester or whatever, and he is very interested and dedicated to schooling. Would you assist him at that point? Would you provide more money at that point, or would it still be up to him?
No, not at all.
Can I ask a question?
It's still our money.
I have a really rude question to ask, and you don't have to answer it if you don't want.
Don't answer it.
Okay. How much money?
Don't answer that.
No, like, I'm not, but there's a difference.
It's not your business.
But there's a difference if you've got, let's say,
40 versus 200, yes.
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 Like,
that
if there's $1 million from he's a YouTube influencer and he's made all this money.
It's clear it's a good amount of money.
But is it like hundreds of that?
It's a good amount, yes? It's a good amount?
Very hefty amount.
Okay, that's all you're going to get.
So like 500?
No!
Okay,
all right.
All right, well, we can see what our audience has to say. They may agree with you, Hannah. As parents, if you've been saving money for him your whole life for him to go to school, that's what you do as a parent. You pay for him to go to college. But they may see Josh's side, too, that if he can financially support it on his own, why are you going to spend your cash when he's got his own to put towards it?
I mean, you never know what's coming down the road anyways, too. That money could definitely come in handy for you or for him.
Does he want to go to private or like a state school? I have a lot of questions.
They're all pretty expensive nowadays.
Yeah, but still, I mean, if it was $1 million in the bank.
Stop it. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
You know you're wondering, too. It's definitely one of those situations that I don't think most of us will ever have to face.
Right.
That is
for sure. It's a good problem to have.
Right. Josh and Hannah have a son who's graduating this year from high school, but Their son got money.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a YouTube influencer. He made money that way. He was a child model. He's got a lot of cash. Dad says, we don't need to pay for him to go to college. He could pay for his own college. Mom says, no, we've been saving our whole life to be able to contribute to send him to school. We're going to use that money to send him to school.
Well, you know, the whole argument for that makes a lot of sense. Obviously, it's what you earmark the dollars for. But here's the thing about money. It probably won't go to waste if you let it sit a while, too. So is dad so wrong that the son should pay a little bit of his own way and then figure out whether or not college is right for him before they just go ahead and hand this cash over? Here's the difference with me, Anna, is that I would have said, okay, if you're really into it, I'll help you out. But dad said, no. It's all on him now at this point.
Right. And Hannah brings a good point up when she says this is his money. He made this money. That's for him after he graduates and he moves on with his life. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
So I'm kind of in between, more so on the mom side, though. I think they should draw up a contract with him and say, we're going to pay for your school, but if you don't meet like this criteria, you're going to owe us back.
Can one of those criteria be making sure that you call your mom on all important dates, birthdays,
every day,
come home every time
totally.
There's a school
yes.
break? Because I know my wife would appreciate that.
Yeah. Because the mom is on his side.
Right.
Yeah. Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court with Anna and Raven. Most likely, let's be honest, this is something that you and I will never have to deal with. But for Josh and Hannah, it's very real. Their 17-year-old son is a senior in high school. He had a lot of success when he was young. Child modeling, YouTube influencer. He's got cash.
Right.
So now he's getting ready to go to college. Dad says he could pay for his own college.
Right.
Mom disagrees.
Well, we've had a college fund this whole time. We've been saving together as a family, getting ready for this moment when he goes. But Dad says, you know, what's the point of us handing over that cash? At this point, he has his own money. If he wants to go to experiment at college, that'd be fine. He's worried that since he's had other success and this money is just sitting there in the bank, that he'll fall back on that and not really apply himself at school.
But Hannah actually thinks the same way that I think, where, you know, it's kind of my job as a parent to be able to help my kid if I have the money on the side. Sure. And plus, that's his money for when he graduates and he moves on with his life. Why should we make him use it now? What do you think? It's a couple's court with Anna and Raven. 1-800-330-9999.
I'm on the dad's side because, you know, if the kid uses his money to pay for school, he's probably going to tend to, like, really take interest in going to school and want to finish. And, you know, I could use my money that I was saving for him to go to school to maybe buy a yacht or do something really nice for myself.
Thank you. I've been wanting that yacht. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
I'm actually on both sides. I was wondering if they would consider going halves with their son on it.
Yeah, I thought that too. I don't think that's the worst idea. Normally, sometimes a compromise just doesn't work. I don't think that's the worst idea. I think it's all right. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the dad's side. If the son already has like a hefty amount of money to pay for college, I think that he should probably pay for it. Just because like I personally come from a low income family. And like I have $5,000 in my savings account, and like my parents want me to use that for college. And even that isn't enough to pay for it. So if he has a hefty amount of money, then the parents are right. Well, the dad is right that the son should be paying for it.
Didn't you also want to know how much it was? Weren't you curious, too?
We all want to know.
Yeah, see?
But we don't
ask. I want to know how much it was,
Yeah.
too.
Thank you for the call.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Josh, our audience agreed with you. If he has the money and he's financially stable that he can afford his own education, well then, you know, you hit the jackpot too. So you should be able to save your own money and have him pay to go to school. That's what our audience said. I know. I was surprised myself.
Well, you know, I'm not. I'm really not surprised. I mean, actually, your audience is fabulous. You know, we can invest in them. So maybe we should get some things going, you know, and we all can invest together.
There is a lot to be said, Josh, about the fact that when you're spending your own money, you're going to explore maybe a little bit quicker and you're going to be a little bit more direct in your search. And maybe that's what's going to happen with your son. He's going to go to school. It's his money and he's going to decide whether he's focused or, you know, really dedicated to that at that moment. On the other hand, Mom, that's kind of where you're supposed to go figure this stuff out is college. So I'm sure you're a little bit dismayed by this.
Well, I'm a lot dismayed. I mean, yeah, you figure stuff out in college, but he's not in college yet. You know, you're there for your kids to help set them up for success. So they don't have all the answers. You know, we have hindsight. I don't know. I don't think it's just me being overly motherly. I think it's being smart, saying, here's what I've learned from my life. Let's do the best to set you up for success. And I don't think that this is the way.
Well, also, a lot of people made the suggestion, or maybe you split it half and half, which I didn't think was such a bad idea, to be honest. Maybe that's something you can consider as well. Sometimes there isn't a compromise. In this situation, there might be.
You know, if you have that money sitting there, it's up to you guys when you break it out. Obviously, parenting is a lifetime job. So there's another time where that money may come in and be the savior of your situation where he may need it. It could happen that way, too.
Which is why I think we should save it and not use it.
Well, right. It's just one pile versus another pile. I get it.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Ann on Raven. Who's this?
Hi, it's Kirsten.
Kirsten, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Oh, Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Kirsten.
All right. We got $2,100 on the line for you.
Cool.
Let's go. It's time. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions.
All right.
You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back into the studio. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio right now. And I'm going to ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. You ready to play?
Yep.
Number one, 6% of people say they will watch the Super Bowl either naked or in their underwear. What underwear brand has an apple and a variety of grapes as their logo?
Fruit of the Loom.
Number two, so far they've had Salt and Peppa. This past weekend it was Wendy Williams. And next it's Whitney Houston and her daughter Bobby Christina. What network is releasing all these recent documentaries?
Lifetime Channel.
Number three, Jeff Bezos is stepping down as CEO of Amazon. In the Amazon logo, the arrow starts and ends at which 2 letters?
The A? No, the Z.
Number 4. Nominees for the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards are out. Nominated for Kids' Favorite TV Show include Henry Danger, Raven's Home, High School Musical, and this show about 2 best friends in high school dealing with one of them facing cancer. What show is that?
Maddie and something.
Time's up. Yeah. Number 5, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler will host the Golden Globes from separate coasts this year. The nominees will be announced this morning. Who hosted the last Golden Globes last January for the 5th time?
Jimmy Fallon?
All right, Kirsten, let me bring Raven back in. Come on.
I got 2.
You got 2. That's it.
All right. Well, now I got the answer. Let's see how
All
I do.
All right. Number 1, 6% of people say they will watch the Super Bowl either naked or in their underwear.
Good for them.
What underwear brand is of an apple and a variety of grapes as their logo?
Fruit of Loom. Fruit of the Loom.
What is it?
Fruit of the Loom.
Fruit of the Loom. Yes. Number 2, so far they've had Salt and Peppa. This past weekend it was Wendy Williams. And next is Whitney Houston and her daughter, Bobby Christina. What network is releasing all these recent documentaries?
Lifetime. Lifetime did that.
Yep. Actually, I was thinking about I wanted to go back to school for something, and then I realized, no, I just like watching documentaries. And these are actually great.
Are these like true documentary style, or are they like a little bit dramatized?
No, they're true documentary style.
Huh,
they're great. I really like them. All right, number 3. You guys are tied at 2. Jeff Bezos is stepping down as CEO of Amazon. In the Amazon logo, the arrow starts and ends at which 2 letters?
A to Z.
A to Z is correct. Yep. Number 4, nominees for the Nickelodeon Kids Choice Awards are out. Nominated for Kids Favorite TV Show include Henry Danger, Raven's Home, High School Musical, and this show about 2 best friends in high school dealing with one of them facing cancer. What show is that?
I don't know.
That one's Alexa and Katie, and that show is great.
Mm.
Number 5, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler will host the Golden Globes from separate coasts this year.
Okay.
The nominees will be announced this morning. Who hosted the last Golden Globes last January for a 5th and final time?
Ricky Gervais.
That's right. I'm sorry, Kirsten. He beat you 4-2 this morning. That does get you your own Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Well, thank you. I guess I can't beat Raven.
Well, thank you for trying. Hold on the line.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.